Welcome today to an interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Neil Leslie, General Manager, Microsoft Developer and Platform Evangelism Group, past Vice President of Microsoft IT, Microsoft Corporation. Neil, I'm just looking at your background, and it's just remarkable. So many successes, and you've done so many major kinds of projects and programs worldwide, and we're really fortunate to have you come in and do this interview with us, so thank you.
Thank you very much. I couldn't be more excited to get a chance to spend some time discussing how the industry is evolving, how technology is benefiting business, and how we can continue to be able to drive success within the IT pro community. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to be able to do this discussion.
Well, Neil, again, it's a real privilege for us to have you come in. And you know, Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer are really iconic figures in industry and are highly respected. And I know this is going to put you on the spot, but can you share maybe a favorite story about Gates or Ballmer or both?
Yeah, probably the best example for me is a story I had an opportunity in my career to spend some time with Steve visiting customers. And for me, ironically, it stems way back. I've had a chance to be at the company for 19 years, coming on 20 years, and obviously in many different roles. But I started early on in my career in the service organization, which means I took responsibility for the enterprise deployments of many of our products. And the interesting part of the story is I use the word product because early on in my career, everything I did, and it was very much aligned with the IT pro, when you thought about what I was doing was early deployments of Exchange. And I was very focused on the technology. So I had an opportunity to actually visit a customer, which was Boeing, as they were doing their deployment of our initial version of Exchange. And one of the things that I had a chance to do was go to the customer with Steve and be able to spend time with the CIO, Steve, and myself, talking not about the technology, but about their business and about what Exchange was doing to enable the shipment and the success they have in building planes. And for me, it was an opportunity to really see the depth of the dialogue that Steve was having with Boeing and the CIO around how they're shaping and using technology to be able to make their business effective. It was really the first time I thought about that perspective, and it really allowed me to be able to think about my career in terms of that deep connection that we've had, that needed to have with customers, and the deep connection and empathy that's necessary to have what it means to be able to have systems that are running a business end-to-end. Before, for me, it was really about the software. So that learning was something that, one, it was impactful for my career and influence. Obviously, the role Steve was playing at that time was he was responsible for the sales business worldwide. And the second thing that was impactful is I got to see 2 years later the evolution of our customer and partner experience. So today, what that means, we have a whole initiative across the company that's put in place because of that empathy that's driven by Kevin Turner and our Kurt Delbaney as sponsors, that pushes and drives accountability of responsiveness and connection to customers. So for me, it was a chance to see Steve in rare form around showing his empathy he had for understanding how technology affected the business. And the second piece of that was watching what the impact you can have in a leadership position to take that and drive it not only into an individual like myself, but to be able to drive it across an entire company worldwide by creating the customer and partner experience. For me, that's the most impactful opportunity I had early in my career working with Steve.
Well, you know, definitely Steve is very famous for his ability to connect, to drive programs, to really deliver value to really corporations worldwide. And I had the great fortune of seeing him speak several times at the MVP summits, and it's just so inspiring. You have this prior role as Vice President of Microsoft IT, and I'm sure you can share some key lessons and insights from that experience. And can you describe what that role entailed and then, again, share some stories and insights?
You bet. And the role itself, what it meant and the opportunity I had to do around about three and a half years ago now was, as many people in the industry, there was a big push to do a more centralization of IT. And the push had very much been on the infrastructure side, meaning that a lot of the server side, the data center side, the telephony infrastructure, WAN infrastructure, LAN infrastructure, most people in the industry had started and done consolidation of those assets within IT. And the trend was to take a look at business unit IT. So essentially businesses where IT sat within the actual business itself and didn't sit organizationally within IT. The trend was to bring those groups together and to try to leverage stronger, better architecture to enable businesses. So Microsoft was a very, on the infrastructure side, very centralized. On the business unit IT was very decentralized and inside the business. So we, with Kevin Turner coming into role and having big IT experience, obviously with his success as a CIO, we really wanted to be able to take and start thinking about our architecture and really think about architecture at three fundamental points. And I think it's something one of the greatest learnings I had in NT around those fundamental points. You know, how do you think about your customer data? How do you think about your product data and your financial systems? If you excel at those three pivots and you have great social connection to your customers, you're going to have very successful business enablement from the systems that you build within IT. So we really drove a process which involved thousands of individuals of bringing them into a central group, creating career paths for IT professionals around the developer and operational side, and be able to then start driving architecture, principle, and process that made us much more effective, more agile, and much more impactful and develop better experiences for customers. So for me, it was one of the best learning opportunities I've had in my career, because you were able to really walk in a customer's shoes and understand the impact of data on the application development lifecycle, and turning that responsibility back to enable our businesses in a very effective way.
Well, that's really interesting, because you're talking about all those sort of the best practices and lessons that you've learned and shaping the internal sort of operations from an IT standpoint within Microsoft. And that kind of brings to mind another question, and that is that there's the world's first CIO forum being hosted in China, with participants from the global Fortune 1000, C-level executives and CEOs from the largest companies, including the top 600 China-based companies and participants. So, you know, when you have this kind of forum where CIOs get together, or senior executives, you know, what are the advantages of that? Or, you know, what are your views about that?
Well, I think there's two things that are critical with the opportunity with the CIO forum that's coming up. One is, I think it's important for everyone who participates in senior IT leadership roles to understand the emerging markets. And having it within China is obviously a huge opportunity for people to learn. And it's not only learning from the culture, it's not only learning from the business, it's also learning from other CIOs. I've never in my career seen a group of individuals that are so connected to share their experiences. It is one of the most interesting communities that I've been involved with in my career, because they're able to separate many times their competitive side of their businesses and actually talk about how they're more effective in delivering strong systems that deliver capability back to the business. And so for me, I think having those connections is what you just described, that I just described. I learned about how to drive best practices by being in a job and being able to run enterprise IT at Microsoft, but also being able to learn from others, to learn how the oil and gas industry deploys systems and the critical natures with the ability that they do things remotely, potentially via an offshore rig. To be able to learn their challenges and apply those types of learnings to your business, I think is very critical. So the community and the commitment that you see from the leadership within the China community is something that will allow people to go learn. And the second part of it I talked a little bit about was really just learning what the emerging markets are. You need to understand, one, what's happening there. Also, you need to understand the talent that's available there. You know, our businesses are global, and seeing the incredible depth of the talent that's available is another learning that I think people will see from the opportunity to participate in the forum.
Sounds like an incredible, as you indicated, relationship-building forum, the ability to network with others and then share all of those kind of insights that you can only get when you get the best in the world coming together. So I really do appreciate you know, some of the lessons that you shared in terms of, you know, getting together in this kind of world CIO forum. You've been at Microsoft for a while, and as you indicated, for since the 90s, and you've been extremely successful. So you're perfectly positioned now in terms of this question. What are the kind of the top attributes that are required to be successful at Microsoft, first of all, and then as a senior executive at Microsoft?
Yeah, for me, there's really three that I think you tend to think about as far as what I've looked at to be able to see success in my career. And those three things are, one is I think you have to be honest. I think honesty comes with credibility and allows you to be able to be more effective from a leadership standpoint. And it also allows you to be incredibly impactful in how you make decisions. If there's trust, people will always believe and follow your leadership decisions because they believe they're heading in the right directions. And it also gives the capability to adjust. When there's trust, you can be wrong. You can admit mistakes and you can move on. And I think in our industry, the reality is you'll make mistakes. And agility is as important as being able to stay on one given path. So for me, honesty is a key attribute that you have to be able to have from a leadership perspective. The next one, and especially within the IT industry, has to do with passion. You have to be able to be passionate and you have to be able to be convicted about what you want to be able to drive and be able to make sure you're able to lead others with that passion. And the final thing I talked a little bit about from the Steve Ballmer story has to do with your commitment to customers. The business of IT is hard. It's something that has to have 100% support. It's one of the learnings, again, I had out of IT, frankly, was the help desk. Help desk within IT is what drives your satisfaction for your business. It drives that deep connection with your customer. And there's many ways in the industry today that people drive that deep connection, whether it's social, whether it's the phone, whether it's the web, but making sure you have that conviction to have the connection with the customer and understand the empathy is critical for everybody within the IT role and the industry that they play in. And as we talk about, and we'll talk about more of the evolution of the cloud, it never becomes more important to be able to understand that empathy on the customer side.
You talk about these principles of honesty and passion and customer focus, and those kind of principles apply to friends and family and everything else as well. But rather than substituting in sort of the word customer, you would say a family focus or friend focus. So great tips. Outside of Microsoft, what are you passionate about?
Oh, for me, outside of Microsoft, my passion has to do with just sports. I have my family is extremely involved into sports. I have a spouse who goes up and down the western coast of the United States and competes as an equestrian rider in a what's called 3-day eventing. So she jumps horses, and so that's something she's done since she was in her early teens. And then I have two kids, and I have a 15-year-old who's very passionate and has a commitment around playing lacrosse, and I have a 10-year-old who plays basketball, soccer, football. Whatever is in season. And then, in their spare time, we all ski. So for me, it's always been that passion around having sports. And I think something that everyone has to have is a commitment to something outside of work that allows them to keep driving. I think it makes you much more effective in your professional life when you have that commitment. And it can come in many different ways. I was mentioning my son who plays lacrosse. For me, he does something nobody in my particular direct family has done, but he's starting to take a passion for fly fishing. And I think he does it because it's something that no one in his family has done, so it allows him to be able to differentiate himself in a unique way. So I think having those passions outside of work is critical to people's professional success as well.
Now let's kind of shift directions and talk more about your current general manager role at Microsoft. For example, you're one of the key drivers in shaping the Microsoft Most Valuable Professional or MVP program. Can you sort of briefly describe the program and what you were trying to achieve at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I'll step us back. My opportunity with the MVP program and many of the community programs stems back almost 10 years. And ironically, I think many of the attributes of what was intended when we started the programs continues today and continues to scale in the entire industry. And that is, how do you make sure you collectively enable a group of individuals who cares about the role that they play in IT, and many of it for us is around IT or the software business, and how do you enable them to be more effective? It's a very simple thing to say. It's a very hard thing to do. And when you enable them to be more effective, they'll turn around. You mentioned friends. You mentioned family. They'll turn around and influence others to be able to be credible and to be effective in making sure software is helping, whether it's better their lives or better their business. And I think when you look at the MVP program, it's a very systematic, impactful way to recognize people for their leadership and community. And then in turn, want those individuals to influence others to be more effective in making sure that we drive the capability of software to enable people's lives. So it's very ambitious, it's very effective, and I think it's something that continues to scale. And you've seen, frankly, copied across the industry and just makes everything more stronger, makes everything more capable. And you can see the attributes that's occurring when, you know, you spend a lot of time thinking about consumerization of IT. And the more that you can drive that influence with systematic programs to make sure people are enabled to be more effective, the more you can continue to be able to impact and grow the entire software business that exists in the marketplace today.
You know, just kind of brings to mind that if you have several thousand outstanding individuals picked from a body of something like 100 million working IT professionals, and I would consider this something like an external fellows program at Microsoft, they're a tremendous resource. And I'm thinking for the audience themselves, if they're looking for a speaker, if they're looking for some input or some advice, they could seek this MVP community to get some expertise in and to help them out.
I think it's, you know, one of the things you mentioned, I think the strength of the program has to do with the strength of the brand. So the brand itself of MVP allows people to know that we have said these folks, these individuals are experts. These folks have a capability that others don't. And so it does put a situation where the strength of that brand enables people to, it's to be more effective and to be able to make sure that they're able to scale and able to use that brand because it recognizes that expertise. So I think that's a critical attribute of the program that has to continue to grow and has, and allows us to do it at scale around the world. And as I mentioned, I think you've seen other folks follow and put those types of programs in place. And I think it's having that type of competition only fosters better capability and allows brands to continue to go. To your point, it's easy to recognize an MVP is someone you want to speak at your event because the reality, you know, that technical capability and that knowledge of the software business exists with that brand and that individual anywhere in the world.
Now, can you tell us more about your various roles, the programs, your team's lead?
Yeah, let me talk a little bit about, I think the most interesting opportunity we've had in the last few months and over the summer are just fantastic examples of what my team does today. So my team takes responsibility for platform adoption. What that means is, how do we show the world exploitative examples of how to use software that can impact consumers at high scale, that can impact enterprise at scale, or can impact an individual? And I think today, one of the things we've been very focused on and very successful with recently is building some of the best canonical examples of applications that are available on Windows Phone 7. And so you look at my team was very influential in partnering with Facebook, with partnering with Twitter. Most recently, you saw the first example of Amazon putting out a Kindle app on Windows Phone 7. My team manages those partnerships, both from a business relationship standpoint and from a technical architecture standpoint. So when you think about opportunity scale, building those critical apps on our platform, making sure that they differentiate, they create an experience that users are excited of. You look at the Kindle application, within days was one of the top 10 applications downloaded on the Windows Phone 7 platform. So those are simple examples of what my team's been able to do and part of the charter that we hold to be able to drive impact that drives adoption of our software around the world.
I guess that then leads to this next question, and what is your vision, mission, programs, and specific measurable goals for 2011 and the next 3 years?
Yeah, really for us, it's a simple thing. From developer and platform evangelism, it's a simple charter. It's a simple strategy. The mechanics of getting it done are something that is the fun. And what it is around securing our platform. And so for us, it's anything that you see from an extensibility standpoint within the Microsoft portfolio products and making sure we differentiate those experiences. You may have saw recently at the PDC, again, something my team puts on the Professional Development Conference. We actually put on that conference, and you saw an exploitative scenario with the cloud, with the opportunity that is coming with what Pixar will be able to do with cloud computing. Again, a very strong example of how we differentiate and show that platform impact. So when you think about what are my goals, it's being able to produce those canonical examples that cause the industry to see the opportunity that's available with our platform. And much of the work that we'll drive moving forward in the next 6 months has to do with being able to differentiate cloud and make sure we're building the right applications for the cloud. And also, for me, a critical portion of that is to begin to make sure we're clear about the role that IT professionals play in that evolution of the cloud that's continuing to come to the industry.
How integral then are community groups to your plans, your vision into Microsoft, and what can you do to support community groups?
Yeah, I think it's something that obviously with the passion you can see from our commitment to programs like MVP. The reality is we've got to help. And I think this transition I talked about, and I'll move to very much the IT professional portion of the discussion. IT professionals see cloud computing. They hear about it. They're participating in it. And we need to be able to use the community and use the millions of folks influenced by the few folks to be able to help drive that transition. That is an opportunity that enables businesses more effectively and really make sure that they have the knowledge and the capability to be able to differentiate their skills and to be able to provide value back to the businesses that they're responsible for, whether that's directly in IT or that's a services company servicing IT. And community becomes incredibly critical to do that. And I think a lot of it has to be done through knowledge and education. And it's something that is a very big focus of our IT pro team for the second half of this year, is being able to enable folks to understand, to use assets like TechNet and MSDN to help educate people, to use certification to be able to differentiate those skills when you prove as an IT professional that you understand the benefits that cloud enables for a business and the trade-offs that are necessary to be able to understand which applications you take to the cloud that will make the business partners you work with much more effective, whether it's more profitable or drive cost out. That's something we will spend a tremendous amount of time on in H2 of this year.
Well, it sounds interesting. You know, you talk about the cloud and community groups and then some way connecting the two. And you know, there's this global IT community organization, or GITCA, and they have this upcoming 24 hours in the cloud, which I think the audience would find very interesting. It's happening in March, and they should be attending. But also has the support of Microsoft to kind of enable people to get involved, get connected, get using the cloud in some meaningful way.
I think it's important for, you know, and I think this is for having a chance to be an IT professional in my career. I think the opportunity with the cloud is something that, again, we need to be able to have that strong partnership. We need to be able to make sure we're in the right conferences with the community leaders, to be able to make sure that the credibility and capability is shown around what the cloud can do for business. And I had an opportunity to speak at TechEd and in North America last year. And one of the topics that was continued to be discussed was the role of the IT professional in that the cloud transition to our industry. And ironically for me, the most important thing that I think many CIOs are struggling with today is which apps do I move to the cloud, which apps do I virtualize, and which apps do I sunset? And the reality is the people in the operational side of the business, so many of the IT pros within IT, are the ones that truly do have the depth of knowledge to know which applications can benefit the most from the transition to the cloud. And so making sure we're putting people and being able to put them in a leadership position to be part of that decision process with the CIO is critical, I think, for Microsoft and the community to be able to help manage that transition, because there's an opportunity to be able to differentiate and show the value of that IT professional as the transition continues to occur and the benefits of the cloud are seen by enterprise IT and small and medium businesses worldwide.
Neil, do you have any sense then of what percentage of applications will be moving to the cloud, let's say in 3 years' time, and whether it's going to involve a lot of the core functions within organizations?
That's a great question. And I, you know, honestly, I don't think there's a one size number fits all. I think you have an opportunity in the cloud based on your business to be able to differentiate the performance and get global reach. And you really have to take a look at your portfolio. I think much of utility computing, so when I say utility, think about messaging as an example. I think you're going to see those utility capabilities. Most people take advantage of the cloud to be able to create business value they don't have today and to be able to drive cost out. And I think you'll see from an application portfolio perspective, people are going to take many of those mission-critical applications to the cloud as an opportunity to be able to get them a global footprint. And the IT professional's ability to know what parts of the world they want to deploy to, what parts of the, and the manageability side of being able to make those services are running effectively for the business is the role they'll continue to differentiate and play in the future of the cloud. But I think that one size fit all question is a very difficult question. I don't have a number off the top of my head. I think what we've got to do in partnership with the community is make sure we empower people with the tools to make the right decisions for what apps need to be taking advantage of the cloud today and what apps will take advantage of the cloud in the future.
We've been talking about the cloud for the last few minutes, and can you summarize then, you know, what do you hope to see with cloud computing and what are the current challenges that need to be addressed?
Yeah, and I think there really is, I don't look at it as the challenge that sit with the cloud. I look at it as the opportunity. Anytime from an IT perspective that you can drive a strong partnership with your business and to be able to look at enabling the businesses more effectively, you're in a strong position within IT. And I think the energy and the opportunity of an evolution that's hitting the IT industry around cloud gives you an opportunity to create a business dialogue. So you can start creating those differentiated experiences. And I think the challenge is just how do you systematically decide what applications that you're able to push to the cloud. But it is inevitable that the economics will allow you to have global reach. And it is inevitable that we continue to be able to differentiate the performance of software by being able to use cloud computing and to be able to have that impact at scale.
In this next question, I was going to talk about if you can discuss two other technology areas of your choosing and current challenges. But rather than saying current challenges, how about current opportunities?
Yeah, for me, the opportunities, again, I think some of them I've talked about, and so you'll hear me kind of reiterate the focus and what I think is there. I think one of them that I'm incredibly passionate about is how do we connect, as we talked about, programmatically, we talked about MVP. But really, from a community perspective, how does Microsoft begin to help through education make sure that the IT professional community is able to evolve their skills? And I do think the evolution of skills is participating in understanding how that migration and opportunity the cloud provides for many of our business partners. I think education is key to be able to do that. And we'll continue to evolve our major worldwide assets like TechNet and MSDN to be able to provide that education and our certification. I think that is the most impactful and the biggest opportunity that we see ahead for us. And the second thing is just the continued evolution of the consumerization of IT. How do we make sure what people experience at home is brought into the enterprise and being able to make sure business is more effective and make sure that we're enabling enterprise IT to be able to support what people carry at home and the experiences they expect to have at work?
Yeah, I'm thinking from the consumer side, there's the Microsoft Windows Live environment, which is a very, very rich enabling environment for consumers to do pretty much everything. And it's all cloud-based, or a lot of it's cloud-based. And then you have the whole sort of enterprise suite of services and cloud products, in essence, that are available to enterprises, to small, medium, and large businesses. And when we talk about sort of the consumer working with Windows Live at home and then working into the enterprise at work and using other kinds of services that are in the cloud, do you see some sort of amalgamation between the two, between the Windows Live environment and the enterprise environments, all of which are in the cloud?
Well, let me kind of talk a little bit about the foundation, and it's ironic that I think many CIOs deal with this challenge every day. And it's something that you'll continue to see the evolution from a Microsoft perspective and Active Directory and being able to support it. And it has to do with identity. And, you know, thinking about the way myself as a consumer transitions into my work life from my home life, it all has to do with the ability for you to be able to be the individual you want to be and expect to be based on the access and capabilities you need to be effective in your home life or your work life. And for me, it's all that foundation that's built around identity. And that is a place that I think you'll continue to see evolution. And the evolution has to involve the simplicity of which you can transition that life and have the most impact, that whether it's fun or whether it's work, whether it's, you know, work is fun. But the reality is you've got to be able to use identity as the foundation to be able to deliver that experience from an enterprise and consumer perspective.
Neil, you are this internationally renowned executive. You've been in the business for quite some time. You're highly respected. Because of the position you have, you're in this sort of perfect situation to be looking into a crystal ball. So what kind of specific trends should we be watching for? And what are the pros or cons of these trends, and perhaps the opportunities, and what value will they ultimately provide?
Well, I think that, you know, when you look at it from a software industry perspective, the two big trends that you see occurring, we've had a theme through the entire discussion, and I'll continue to talk about that theme, which is that the cloud computing is an opportunity to be able to have an impact and to be able to simplify computing for users and make sure we're more effective in delivering value back to them, whether they're a consumer or they're in the enterprise. I think that's a trend you'll continue to see. And it's something that needs to be embraced, understood, and again, goes back to the theme that I've discussed around making sure that there's educational opportunities to make sure people understand how to maximize the benefit. The second one has to do with really embracing and continuing to support the consumerization of IT and being able to make sure as a software professional in the IT space that you understand and have, as I just talked about, some of the principles, the empathy from a customer perspective to help make sure you are enabling people's home life and their work life, because it's something that you have to embrace and you have to be able to make sure you extend, and the challenges are clear. Most folks spend a lot of time in the security space. So that security pillar doesn't go away, but it's something that you have to deeply embrace the opportunity that's there to make sure that you are able to enable the consumerization of IT and what's happening in the industry. And I don't think those two trends are going to lose any momentum. I see that they'll, over the next 3 to 5 years, continue to have a strength in that momentum. And it's something that, as a professional, you need to embrace and through education.
This question is not related to the enterprise or really to Windows Live and that kind of space, but it's coming more from a gaming environment, and it just kind of struck me in this, say, this Xbox Kinect product. And I was talking to a senior executive at Avanade, and he was indicating they had some communication breakdowns, and they went to Xbox to hold this sort of live executive conference, and I'm thinking this Kinect product would be perfect for doing enterprise live kind of real-time communications. Is there any plans to kind of enterprise-orient the Kinect product?
Today, the plans are what you see and what Kinect experience is today. Those are the plans we have on record. And I think what you're talking about, though, I think is the opportunity, not even specific for Kinect, but you're talking again about the ability to be able to use the reach of the cloud and the availability of a credible service. You talked about the ability to be able to collab through Xbox, and not knowing the specific example you have, but it sounds like what happened is they had an availability challenge of a solution that they used, and they all had something in common. They had access to Xbox Live, so they created an experience to be able to collaborate. I think that's a great example you're using of how to be able to use a cloud-based service from a provider, which in that situation happens to be Microsoft, to be able to give you the business expectation of availability you have. And I think we have a lot of the capability to do that. But today, the Kinect plans are what you see is creating an incredible gaming experience. You know, that's one thing that I had a chance during the holidays to really see the passion and watch the learning with the number of hours my two children I'd mentioned before spent in the gaming experience on Kinect.
Can you share 3 success stories around the work that you're doing?
Yeah, I think before I mentioned them, the today work has to do with the ability and the learning that we've had that we're sharing. And one of the things I haven't mentioned is one of the things my team does is run Channel 9. And Channel 9 is a incredibly committed way to make sure we're transparent as a company. And so one of the things that we've worked on is just really feedback and a user experience, the team has done an amazing job redesigning and making sure that we're exposing the videos for many of our products before they hit the market. So we were teaching people how to be able to develop for Windows Phone 7 in the early days. Ever since last year, and another conference we put on is the Mix conference, we used Channel 9 as a vehicle to be able to provide that learning, a training kit, the software is downloadable, to be able to build your first app, and to be able to provide source examples through Coding for Fun through Channel 9 to make sure we're giving assets to the community that they can use at scale to make sure we're educating and, again, driving platform adoption. For me, that's a critical piece. And the second thing was really right now we're getting very focused on our next Mix conference and being able to tell the story to the world around the web what Microsoft's doing to be able to provide differentiated experience. So those are the two things that one is very proud of the work that's been done by Channel 9 and the transparency to drive adoption, and two, this coming conference we have within the April timeframe to be able, again, show the world predominantly from a web development perspective to show the types of products that are going to have the impact we expect to have in the coming 12 months.
Now, Microsoft Learning has this program, Career Factor, where they've selected nine what's almost like idols, IT idols, in different areas of Microsoft technologies, and they're going to follow their experiences as they come up the curve in these different kinds of technologies, one of which is cloud computing, but mobile is another, and so on. And it was a really interesting kind of process. Is there any plans to then share some of the experiences, some of the stories, the videos that are coming out of the Career Factor program with Channel 9?
To be honest with you, I think it's a great idea, and it's something I should follow up on to be able to make sure we're doing that work. It all lays down to what we just talked about, the educational process. But I think sharing that early learning and having videos of what people are going for is a fantastic idea and something I need to be able to follow up on and help you give a response back to the community, because I think it's a great idea.
I think it's really interesting that Microsoft is involved with their own reality series following nine professionals that they selected worldwide out of this sort of body of 100 million IT professionals and developers. So I think it'll be just fascinating. And one of the key things they're doing is they're blogging every day. They're going to produce videos every week, and they're going to share the coding that they're doing. So I think it'll be an interesting story.
Yeah, and I think what you've done has given me a really good idea around. I knew the work that's being done in terms of, again, I think it's great when you tell real stories and they're human-based stories, people drive that social connection and they learn more. And the reality is, how do you make sure that those stories are also connecting you not only to the story, but the practical aspects of the assets that exist to be able to let people go learn, not just from a curriculum perspective or certification perspective, but learning at their own pace with videos and connecting them back to an asset like Channel 9 and MSDN as part of that learning curve. I think that's very important because it allows community members to be much more effective. Instead of being able to kind of create their own path, we give them the path. I think that's something that we have to be able to drive. And I think, you know, one of the things that's fantastically fun about the role that I play today is we try a lot of new things. And you're talking about the learning team trying something new. And many times you get fantastic feedback. You iterate, you learn, you partner with the community, and then you can make sure those things are available on a worldwide basis. So I think that's something that we need to continue to leverage that type of impact.
You know, earlier in the interview, you talked about honesty and the associated trust and agility. You talked about passion. You talked about having a customer focus. And you sort of related that to the help desk and just all the kinds of things that are sort of client or customer focused. You know, and I can hear that excitement in your voice throughout this interview. So what else are you most excited about?
That's a great question. I think for me, it is, you know, having an opportunity to be in the industry for 20 plus years. I think what I am most excited about is the continued just opportunities and evolution. As I mentioned before, for me, many times, it's about the agility. You know, you look at the fact is many times people use the quote, the strong survive. But in our industry, it really is about having that agility to be able to learn from customers as fast as possible, to take the feedback, to iterate. And ironically, what I'm excited about is what you look at from a cloud computing perspective is the ability to be able to iterate, learn, respond, and then provide new capability back to customers as quickly as possible. because that is one of the benefits that you'll see to being able to drive cloud computing. And I'm super excited about that because it allows you to move past the legacy and constantly being able to provide people the latest and greatest experiences that they do expect, that they do get in their home life. So that's what I'm really excited, because I think it's a huge opportunity for everyone in the software space in the coming years. And I think it allows us to make sure they're always being able to experience the latest and greatest. As you gave a great example with Connect, a new product, new opportunity, new capability, strong connection to the device, to be able to make sure those experiences are always evolving is something that people demand, and we've got to make sure we deliver it.
We've talked about opportunity throughout the interview, so here we have a great opportunity to kind of pick the brains of one of the top executives in the world, one of the top IT experts in the world, and that's you, Neil. So what are the best resources to learn from?
I mentioned a few of them. I think, you know, from a Microsoft perspective, number one, we continue to make large investments in MSDN and TechNet. And when we've talked a lot about the global opportunity, and those investments are there and include certification to make sure we're driving education and transparency. And we talked about Channel 9. Those are fantastic assets. And the next set of assets that I think is critical is to make sure you understand how to connect to many of the community programs that are available, and to be able to make sure you have the relationships within the community. We talked a little bit about the opportunity with the CIO Forum in China to make sure you establish relationships. I think those are all critical assets and a way to learn what's available to make sure you're driving your knowledge base forward stronger.
You get asked a lot of questions, Neil. So what are some of the more interesting ones that you get asked, and what are your answers?
I think one, you've asked a lot of them. I think one of the more interesting questions that come up today socially are really, where does the computer industry go from here, and what is the efforts that are in place? And I think a lot of it, what you see is the opportunity ahead to continue to simplify people's lives. People today, I talked a little bit about the experience we've had with building a Kindle solution for Windows Phone 7. People want to experience that application, and they want to make sure they experience that application the same way on every device that they have, and to be able to make sure that when they experience it on those individual devices, they're in the same place in the book. And I think consumers are going to continue to demand those experiences, and it's important that we are enabling those experiences for folks with very little friction, so that they're continuing to be able to do what they want to do, which is have the opportunity to experience and read that book and to do it in the form factors that they want to be able to be enabled. And that's something that the industry will continue to support, and I think will be the evolution of what people expect.
We're down to our last question, and this is a bit of a free form, and that is, what do you see as some of the top challenges facing us today, and what would you propose as solutions?
Well, we've kind of topped on the thing. I think the opportunity that you see for folks is really around that differentiated in knowledge. And I think, it's a very overused term, but knowledge is power. And I think the opportunity for IT professionals is make sure that they do understand what the cloud opportunity brings their businesses. Whether you're a service professional that services small and medium businesses, understand the economic opportunity of cloud. Understand the ability to be able to get deeper into the business partnerships of your customers. And then I think in doing that, the opportunity for you is to make sure you're educated in being able to make sure that you're optimizing those experiences for them. I think that's something that people have to put themselves a little bit in charge of their destiny in the industry, to be that thought leader as transitions and as evolution occurs in the computing environments they're responsible for.
Well, Neil, we are now at the end of the interview, and with your extensive history of successes and your continuing global contributions, it'll impact us and reverberate worldwide. We really do appreciate the fact you came in to do this interview, and I know how tight your time is, so thank you.
Well, I wanted to thank you. I think anytime that we have an opportunity to be able to talk about where the industry's going and how Microsoft participates in people's success of making sure software is a deep and integrated part of their lives is something we're always going to take the opportunity to be able to talk about. So I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak with you and the continued relationship I expect us to have with the communities that you're responsible for servicing.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Neil Leslie, General Manager, Microsoft Developer and Platform Evangelism Group, past Vice President of Microsoft IT, Microsoft Corporation.